welcome to the ABC edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing Liza getting a dart in the belly on All My Children. What's that say about the show? General Hospital's Lynn Herring joins As the World Turns. And flag on the play, is Gina Tognoni still headed to One Life to Live? All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome. It's been a while since you've been on an ABC episode.
Hey, hey, I'm ready to get into some Franzian thinking. Oh,
no. Welcome to my life. Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
And Belinda, welcome.
Hi, great to be
coming
here.
To us from a location, an undisclosed location.
Yes, right.
Well, a lot happened this last week. I think that we're going to start first with Lynn Herring for the simple fact that Jamie had a really good week with soaps this last week between Lynn Herring and Crystal Chappelle. So since this is the ABC episode, Lynn Herring going to As the World Turns. You wrote a post about your Lucy Coe being reunited with Kevin on As the World Turns. Jamie, what do think?
Oh, yeah. For the first time, I mean, Luke, you know that I have not been you've liked Dodd Lidstrom as Craig the whole time, pretty much. And I've been like, he's not Craig. Get him out of here. But now that Lynn Herring is joining him in Oakdale, I'm all shades of happy because I get my Doc and Lucy reunion. I don't care who they are on this show. They're Doc and Lucy. And I want a duck, and I want deception, and I want a stake for her to stab vampires and or bad writers in the heart. I am ecstatic. And I made a promise. I'm going to not talk bad about this show for at least a month because they had the good, they had the good foresight to at least honor a wildly popular vet. Now that's kind of a after I make this statement, I'll say this on the CBS one too. It's kind of funny though because, and As the World Turns fans, you know the when I mean that, like I watch all 8 soaps, but for someone who just watches As the World Turns, I'm sure they're thinking, yeah, well they don't value our vet.
Well, the show is turning into As Port Charles right. Turns.
Well, true, but I think that's the funny thing about daytime. You've got all of these executives who don't value their stable of veteran stars, but they value the veteran stars at other shows, you know? It's so funny. It's just, you know, but anyway, hey, she's back on TV, and guess what? You've got Martha Byrne, who's their big star in GH land, so If these executives would ever realize, maybe at GH we should value Lucy and Laura and instead of going after their stars and them going after ours, maybe the soaps would all get better. But that being said, yeah, I'm ecstatic,
Reagan,
that Lynn Herring is back in daytime.
Reagan, are you? Is it bittersweet to find out that Lynn Herring is headed to a CBS soap when you don't watch CBS?
Hell yeah, but it's more aggravating that in the interview, she admitted that GH never even called. That's what's
and see, this is what's sad, though. I'll tell you, like with Days right now, with them getting Crystal Chappelle, which we'll talk about in another show, I can readily go to Guiding Light fans and say, you guys should watch. This is an awesome character. I don't feel comfortable saying, hey, Reagan, you've got to tune in because it's like,
right.
No, there's nothing there for me to make, you know. It's bittersweet because I wouldn't run and tell GH fans you have to watch As the World Turns, but
Belinda, how do you feel about this?
I'm thrilled. I'm not I don't watch that show and I don't plan on watching any new soaps because I have enough problems being addicted to the ones I watch now. So I am thrilled that Lynn Herring's back at work. I think it's great that she's going to be on the same show with John Lindstrom. I hope that they don't just count on the past chemistry between them to kindle something, because as we learned with the couple that went to AMC, was it, help me with the names
Ricky
here.
Paul Golden
Beth and, Ehlers and Ricky Paul Golden.
Thank you. They really alienated more people than they ingratiated themselves to by trying to get that back. They've got to have some original writing, because just counting on those people that we love from their chemistry together is going to be a big mistake, and they can just look at ABC and see that that's true. But I am thrilled. I love her to death. So I'm excited that she's going to be working.
Well, and Belinda, and I just thought about this. She's only going to be on about 8 weeks. So if you, and I'm sure like Roger Newcomb at We Love Soaps is very good at putting up just the snippets of certain storylines. So if you guys do want to see her, you know, you could just watch her storyline. And from what I gather, she's going to be playing this scheming, trampy mother. You're basically Lucy Coe, but
from the trailer park.
Yeah, well, Lucy started off as a librarian, but yeah, she's going to be playing the mother of one of the more comedic characters, and she's a teen. She was his teen mother, and she's like a man eater. So I think it's just going to be
fun. Tina Lord.
Sounds like it. You know, it's going to be a very. It sounds like a fun character. I mean, we'll see. This show is known for wrecking stars, but we'll see what they do. Okay. After now, moratorium. Now the month begins.
You can't say anything bad about As the World Turns until July 14th.
That's right.
Okay. Well, let's talk about...
There's a long holiday in there.
Let's talk about...
Luke, I won't be on any podcast until July.
Let's talk about the cake caper that had Bradford Anderson Spinelli getting himself waxed and wearing facials. What did you guys think, Reagan?
Trying to stay positive about General Hospital, and you have to start with me on this one.
I'm so happy.
I liked the Kate character when she first came on, and this is all just getting ridiculous. Like, way too ridiculous. It's kind of almost shameful. Okay, Spinelli in a green mask, chomping on cucumber slices, funny, but it's just... I can't.
Belinda?
I actually found it refreshing. I know I'm a little bit limited to my scoops and spoilers and stuff, so I've kind of gone back to an old-fashioned way of watching the show, and I actually find it cute. I like that Maxie and Lulu are working together, that it has nothing to do with Johnny. You know, I adore Spinelli, and... Kate, I do know enough to know that the Kate character is on the way out. Is that still a fact?
Supposedly.
Kate's leaving?
They haven't said she's staying, so.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it's not bad setting it up that because the two things you could count on, you know, was that supposedly she was this tough magazine editor and she was going to do anything for her career. And now, you know, this is setting up setting her up to exit. She's doing a pretty good job, and, you know, I'll take it over the mob shit.
Well, and speaking of, well, I was going to say shit, but that's not the greatest segue. Jamie, in your notes for this episode, you have this show is so sleazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I, like Belinda, I enjoyed that part of the show simply because it was something, I mean, lighthearted and fun. I mean, everybody knows that I'm a mob fan, and let me preface that. I'm not a mob fan on General Hospital anymore. I'm a fan of the Godfather movies and Jackie Collins novels, The Mob Done Well, General Hospital in the mid-90s. But now, it's not even just about the mob, it's just about the spirit of this show, this overdrawn testosterone-y. I mean, it's like this industry is supposed to be aimed at women. Bob Guza's craptastic view of what people want to see on soaps is horrible. Women like bitchy catfights, not two women screaming at each other like a pair of gutter whores in Sonny's living room. That was the most garish display of tacky trash whoredom I've ever seen. I mean, I thought I was... in the hood at,
and people,
you know,
I couldn't figure out why.
Oh, I didn't love that. That was the tackiest shit I've ever seen on General Hospital. Ugh. I mean, they're just sitting there yelling at the top of their lungs at each other like two old hoes. I mean, it was just not. That's not what we want to see with the soap opera cat fight. That was, just, and then Sonny's screaming at him like his two little bitches. I mean, it's like Pimps and Hoes. I mean, it is like a rap video. Bob Guza must be stopped. That is not what women want to see. I'm sorry. I'm not a woman, but that's not what women want to see on soaps. And then you've got Michael, this great young actor.
Sure.
Yeah, and I love this boy. He could be the new Jonathan Jackson, but they're going to make people hate him like they do Maurice Bernard. And I know he has some kind of medical problem, but all the other men in town who scream and mistreat women don't have a medical problem. So it's just, it's excessive and it's too much. It's too much to have him yelling at Carly while she's pregnant. It's just wrong. Bob Guzin needs to be fired if he's going to keep this shit up. And I'm a fan of his. I've been like the biggest apologist for him. And I watched this show this week and I'm like, am I seeing these women roaring at each other? I mean, it's just, it's obscene. I mean, the Sopranos had heart. They had heart and they had characterization and they had good classic soapy elements. This is just a guy who never made it. He never got to do his Goodfellas or his, you know, mob movie, and he's smarting from not making it. And so he's going to turn a daytime soap opera into his vision of Goodfellas, and it's just, it's tacky, trashy, and wrong, and they need to stop this shit. It's just sleazy. I'm sorry, I didn't even plan that rant, but when I was doing the outline, I started thinking about all the stuff I saw this week, and I was like, what is going on with General Hospital? I mean, Sarah Brown, amazing performance, both of them. Let me go ahead and preface that. Amazing performances? You know, as far as, I mean, they really made me believe it, but I just got this ugly feeling in my spirit. Like, this is not the GH where there was Bobby and Felicia and friendships and, you know, they living at the brownstone, and then you had the mob drama, and then you had a caper with Lou. I mean, this is just a sleazy, trashy, tacky show, and it's just wrong.
Belinda and Reagan, speaking for womankind, what's your guys' quick take on it before we move on?
I was totally uninterested in Sonny and his hoes. I like Olivia. I think in her job situation and Jackson Carly, I think that she could be a good asset. I would like to like her, but I'm not going to like her if she's the next Mrs. Sonny Corinthos. And I don't like Claudia at this point. They have made her so unlikable that, you know, I'm almost to the point I feel about Claudia like I did Jerry Jacks, and don't get me started. There's not enough time. So, not Jerry Jacks. I should say James Craig. Jerry Jacks and Julian Stone was playing him. I could stomach very well. I liked him all right. He was a lovable character, you know. So this is what they, and now, as Jamie said, they are making Michael really hard for me to sympathize with. And Christina, I would whip that little girl's ass.
Oh, I love her. Love her, love her, love her.
I love the actress, and she's a find, but yeah.
Doing a good job.
Can we have some balance? Do all the kids have to be little shits? I love little shits on daytime, but you have to have some good kids. I mean,
well, but the good
Morgan's
kids, but they ruin the good kids. I mean, why would you want to take and have a character like
they didn't ruin
like,
Robin Scorpio?
They ruined Lulu.
Lulu came on the show yelling at people, calling them names.
But she used to be a character that fans enjoyed, but now they just call her Shrulu. Yeah. I mean, why don't skip the fans enjoying the character and let her just be Shrulu from the beginning and let fans enjoy her for being Shrulu 2.0.
See, I always thought she was kind of a shrew. I mean, when she screwed Dylan on the floor of the boathouse, I mean, that's pretty shrewish.
Okay, let's move to All My Children. In the intro, we discussed Liza getting a dart in the belly, but the big story for All My Children was Erica is now a cougar, and she's going to be paired with Ryan Lavery. Belinda, I'm going to you first because I know you don't like Erica.
I don't like the character of Erica, but you know, this could be good for me. If I'm not enjoying it, I would be surprised to enjoy it because I don't like Erica and I don't like Ryan, but I'm going to give it a shot. And, the good news is, if I hate it, I can fast forward both of them at the same time instead of separately. So bring it on. Do a good job with it. And I'll be on here in a couple weeks saying that I'm thrilled with an Erica storyline, and it even has Ryan in it.
Reagan?
I guess a cougar storyline is like the new in thing. So, sure. I guess you got to use Erica Kane, and why not Ryan? I mean,
well, but here's my question, and this is where me being a new viewer of by comparison, I've only been watching since '98. But someone in the comments said, I don't understand why they're making such a big deal about Erica being a cougar. She was with a younger man years ago.
I was just about to say that, and I hadn't even read the comments. I'm like,
Brooke English,
Charlie Brent,
wasn't it?
Well, no, she was with Charlie Brent, who was the son or grandson of one of her former lovers. But yeah, I mean, Erica is basically a soap operatic Barbie doll. You know how Barbie has done everything that women have done. Yeah, Barbie has done. Barbie's been the president. She's been a doctor. Erica has basically done everything that is popular for women to do in pop culture. You know, and of course, so she has to be a cougar again now. I will like it if the chemistry is there. Like, I have no qualms about it. A lot of people are like, it's so funny to me when people go, but he's with her daughter. These are soaps, people. If it's done well and written well, we'll buy. I mean, God, Alexis and Fallon screwed the same men all the time on Dynasty. It's like, if they write it in a really good bitchy way and have Kendall and Erica go at each other because of it, and if she and Cameron have romantic chemistry. I haven't seen any romantic chemistry. I know, you know, they say that they did this because the fans were like looking at it and wanting it. I see mother-son chemistry between them. I don't really see romantic chemistry, so I'll have to just wait and see. But I applaud the show because this is a smart move, and Daytime needs to do more of this when they have the chance, because these are their two stars that get the Hello and In Touch coverage, you know, because of Dancing with the Stars and, you know, their icon status. So this will get, whereas if you do Cougar on As the World Turns, it gets nothing. It gets no mainstream press. But if you put two Dancing with the Stars soap stars, you get an AP story.
But here's where my concern lies. We have two Dancing with the Stars in a Cougar storyline. Does that mean we are going to get Dancing with the Stars lessons for Erica and Ryan? Does that mean we're going to have a Dancing with the Stars person drop by with a pole for Erica Kane to dance on for Ryan? It's like,
well, but Luke, you can't have it both ways. You did a 8-part series of what we can do to improve the soaps, and you were like a dog with a bone about outside of gimmicks and stunt doing that. That is what they're doing with this. You can't have it both ways. They have to capitalize on the fact that these people are popular for these shows.
Oh,
I mean, this is the thing. If they do a Cougar story on One Life to Live with Dorian and Skylar, it's not going to make the AP. But with Susan Lucci and Cameron Matheson, it is. And soaps need all the good press.
Great Cougar storyline on One Life to Live. Joey and Dorian.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the apex of Daytime Cougar storylines.
Yeah.
Nobody else has been able to do it since. The first time, I've always been a big fan of May-December romances. I think Ben White, that they are so emotionally wrenching for everybody, no matter whose side.
God in Light did a really good one. Yeah, God in Light did an amazing one that had fans really, like, it became a love story. It wasn't even really a Cougar story, but Matt and Vanessa on God in Light was huge for them. And, you know, Another World had one with Matt and Donna until Jill Farren Phelps took over the show and decided she didn't want Donna with him because it wasn't age appropriate. And so she undid a hugely popular couple.
Okay.
Gotta love Jill Farren
Phelps. Let's talk about Tad's dart capabilities. He threw a dart and it ended up in Liza's fake stomach. Reagan, you and I were talking about this on Instant Messenger earlier in the week, and we were both talking about how ridiculous it is. I said, but isn't there a double standard? On Desperate Housewives, Bree will get a grilling fork stuck in her fake baby because she's faking her pregnancy for her daughter so that she can pretend to be the mother. And now...
And who was writing Desperate
Housewives?
Yeah,
exactly.
Who consulted for Desperate Housewives? I didn't mind it. I thought it was kind of funny.
Well, that's the thing. I found it hilarious on Desperate Housewives, but knowing that he consulted on it, it's like, can't he come up with anything new?
But Luke, you know what? Daytime has been doing this for years. I mean, I'm not defending Chuck Pratt, but the reason we have the Buchanans on One Life to Live is because of the popularity of Dynasty. The reason General Hospital exists is because they wanted a daytime answer to Dr. Kildare. They've been doing this. They've been following primetime for years. It's like, yeah, it's very apparent because Chuck Pratt is from primetime. But, I mean, and even, again, defending Pratt. Agnes Nixon, sure. If you read from her bio, she basically took the Erica Kane character to every show she wrote for and created Erica Kane there. She created Rachel Davis on Another World based on her, on the Bible she had already done for All My Children that she hadn't sold yet. And then she borrowed from that also to create Dorian Lord. So writers do that, not just Pratt. I mean, they borrow from their own, stable of tricks to recreate.
Well, it's not plagiarism if we're stealing from ourselves.
Well, let's talk about Amanda and Jake's wedding. They got married this week, and you know what? It was quirkily appropriate, if that's even a word. I enjoyed it. Amanda and Jake are just one of the few bright spots on this show for me, and I just can't get enough of them. What did you think, Reagan?
It was nice. I mean, it's still, kind of bittersweet knowing that she's kind of only renewing in these short stints, and who knows how much longer we'll get of them, because they really are probably the only really good story going on right now at All My Children. So it's nice that they're finally on that track after they, busted them up when Beth Ehlers came on the show. Nice that they're back on that right track, but you gotta wonder, is it, just kind of to give the fans what they want before she's officially done?
Belinda, you're a big Jake and Amanda fan. What'd you think?
I am. I thought it was great. It was appropriate for them. I enjoyed seeing it. It was lighthearted, but it's moving into this whole, it's been nice to see them fall in love. And I'm glad they're married, and now the baby's coming. And I missed Friday, so I still have to catch up on that. I thought it was great. It was the best thing on the show this week, in my opinion.
Jamie, before we move on to One Life to Live, you and I discussed before the podcast the whole JR, Little Adam, Babe's twin. What are your thoughts on these characters?
I don't like that girl. I don't see any point to her. She's not – the actress is great, but – why drop a house on Babe if we had to have a new two young adult girl conscience to come in for David? I'd rather it had been Babe, and since, Alexis Havens is, her husband's show struck out, who knows, we could have maybe got her back. I mean, this girl, I don't see her being a viable tentpole for a triangle between JR and Scott. Maybe if they recast, but I just don't. There are so many girls out there that they could have brought back into this equation. There were, 75 Santos children? I mean, they could have brought her back for JR, one of them back for JR. They could have brought back, I mean, there's just so many girls that they could have brought on that would have history beyond David Hayward. Good God Almighty, David Hayward and Crystal. You'd think that was the full on existence of All My Children history. Where's Brooke English's daughter? I mean, Laura. Laura, no, you keep saying that. Laura, the child is dead, but the adopted daughter is not dead. They could have brought her back. There's just so much they could be doing that they could be. Following Y&R's template, and people say, Y&R, he's not doing everything, but, they need to just mine the history vaults. These shows are 30 and 40 years old. Stop trying to create new characters. These new characters, 90% of the time, they suck. This generation of writers, it's not like when people were bringing on breakout new characters. I mean, they just need to just go buy All My Children 35th anniversary book off of Amazon and look in there and see who had a baby. You know, they could have brought back Edmund and Maria's daughter, aged her. You know, Erica kidnapped her as a baby. She could come to town hell-bent on wrecking Erica's life and fall in love with JR. Just stop trying to create these sucktastic new characters.
Well, let's talk about One Life to Live.
Sucktastic. I love that. Sucktastic. I like that.
let's talk about One Life to Live. There's a lot of stuff to discuss, so I'm going to just bullet point some things before we dive into it. As mentioned in the intro, Gina Tognoni may or may not be headed to One Life to Live still. One Life to Live is launching a new gay romantic storyline. One Life to Live's ratings have gone up, and a Gossip Girl actress is going to be on One Life to Live, not to mention all the storyline news. Where do we start? Jamie, let's discuss Gina Tognoni.
Nelson Branco, who had first reported that she was this close to signing, he updated his subs report this week to say that there was a flag on the play. That, according to Nelson, she wanted more money than they were willing to pony up. And so it's at a stalemate. Since he broke that news, our Melody Akles has, I talked with her, and her guiding light source is hearing that it is going to be a go, that Gina is going to end up at One Life to Live. So my overall view of this is that, you know, we're all in the internet age. You know, most of the, before people like us and TV Guide Canada, those negotiations took place, you know, fairly under the radar, but we basically get every beat of the discussion and the, you know, negotiations. And, you know, Luke knows this. We got an email after I broke that Rick Hurst was going to Bold and the Beautiful before it was a said and done deal, with someone just freaking out. Like, you guys are going to ruin people's negotiations and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, come on. Do you write those things to Michael Osiello? Do you write those things to Matt Webb-Mitovich or these other people that talk about negotiations or people being this close? I don't know why the soap opera community should be exempt. We hear these things. They're news. We run them as reports. We source them. We do what we do. But, yeah, so I think it's all true. I mean, Gina is in talks with One Life to Live. Yeah, they want her. I don't know. I hope that all the praise that we've given her at God and Light didn't make her think she's too big for her britches, because come on, Gina. It's a dying industry. You need to take what they'll give you. I mean, seriously. You've been on a dead last show. I mean, she should.
Touch the nerve. Take what they give you. That's what we do as fans. We just take what they give us.
Yep. You know,
that is something you could run with for a week.
It's the days of you leaving a soap and going in with your manager and agent and strutting around and saying what you want, it's pretty much over. Susan Lucci just had to take a significant pay cut. They fired Deirdre freaking Hall. If you want to work, you pretty much have to play ball with the networks. It just is what it is.
Reagan, Amanda Seton from Gossip Girl is going to be dropping by Landview for a while. What's your take on this?
At first, I didn't know where she fit into the story, and I think it's come out now that she's going to kind of fit into that Gigi, Rex, and Stacy story. So as long as she's here to out-bitch Stacy or kick her ass or whatever, I'm cool.
Well,
with it.
Considering that she's learned from the master, Blair Waldorf, maybe it's possible.
She talked with that boy that plays Serena's little brother. You know, he was Star's first little boyfriend, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Gossip Girl actors on soaps. It's kind of, I don't know if that means Primetime's doing that well or what, but
I'm really kind of liking Skylar and Gigi. I don't necessarily think I would want them in a relationship per se, but I'm really liking Scott Clifton on One Life to Live, and I'm liking the friendship him and Gigi are developing, trying to, you know, out Stacy for the slut that she is.
And Gigi's boy went and revealed to Stacy that they're on to her. That's good.
Yes.
It's like, just knock her over the back of the head and dump her in a dumpster and be over with it already?
Yeah.
Like
I mean,
they did that one girl, that Jen.
Jen Rappaport.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen to that Stacy. Where's a closeted politician when you need him?
Now, how in the world am I supposed to segue from a comment like that to talk about fish and...
Oh, you say speaking of the closet.
Well, I know, but
speaking of
One Life to Live doesn't have the greatest
fish is coming out of it.
One Life to Live doesn't have the greatest track record when it comes to their gay storylines. I mean,
correction. Their recent Dina Higley does.
Okay.
But they One Life to Live set the standard with Ryan Phillippe back in the day.
Their recent one with the gay murderer. What's your take on this storyline, Belinda? That the fact that they're going to have Fish and, what is his name? His name just slipped my mind. I had it.
Kyle.
Lewis.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I don't know. With everything else going on, I can afford to let that play out and make my decision after I see how it comes off. You know, I've got a lot of stories I am invested in on the show, so I don't fast forward One Life to Live like I do the other two. And so I'm willing to sit through it and give it a chance. Why not?
Jamie, As the World Turns, got a...
After Stacy, I might go gay.
Jamie, As the World Turns got a lot of mainstream press for Nuke. Young and the Restless has gotten a lot of mainstream news, well, for two reasons. The Wraith character and then the Chris Engen saga, debacle, whatever you want to call it. Do you think that this could help get One Life to Live some mainstream press?
Well, One Life to Live has had a plethora of gay recurring characters over the years. I mean, Marcy's brother was gay. I really hate that they didn't utilize that better because it would have been tied more to a, you know, no, Marcy was never core, but it would have been tied more to a family that we care about. I like these actors, but I'm going to have to see. Here's my take on it. I'm anticipating the story to see how it plays out, but I don't think it will have the same impact as Victor Newman's son sticking his tongue down someone's throat, because that is so much more of a soundbite. Oh my God, Victor Newman's son's going to be in a gay storyline, and with As the World Turns, it's Holden and Lily's son, and All My Children, it's Erica Kane's daughter. That is more, when you're looking at soundbites and trying to get an AP story, that's a lot bigger than...
two people that we don't know and hardly care anything about.
Yeah. Two recurring characters that we know nothing about that have both screwed women. But, you know, that doesn't bother me so much because I know a lot of people who flip-flop. I'm excited about the story, but I would have been more excited about the story if, say, it was... if it was C.J. Roberts, or, you know, we find out that that's why Joey Buchanan is so confused and a preacher one minute and sleeping with old women the next. And, I mean, you know, to me, because, I mean, that was definitely, you know, how many gay guys say, I'd still sleep with Madonna? Well, Dorian Lord is definitely One Life to Live's Madonna. So, I mean, I think it would have had a bigger impact if it was Joey or CJ, or, you know, because those Buchanan men are so, you know, they're such strapping good old boys from Texas. So I always had my doubts
about Cord.
Yeah, give it to let's find out that Cord is on the down low.
Okay.
You know, hook it up with John.
I want to take a moment to just mention something I caught at the very end of One Life to Live this last week. During the graduation scenes, when after Cole had got his diploma and he was walking away, and just before the show cut to black, over the announcement of the next person whose name was going to get their diploma, it said Francis Valentini, and I couldn't help to think to myself, isn't that interesting to just slip that in there like that?
Well, speaking of that episode, what a well-written segment. You know, that graduation rang true. I mean, that felt like I almost got weepy thinking about my own, because that high school graduation was the most realistic one I've seen on soaps. And the performances were so subtle. There was no dramatic over the top, but poor Marcy, you know, having to come to terms with the fact that, you know, and everything that they were saying was so symbolic about growing up and being able to take on challenges. Of course, that's, you know, alluding to Cole and Star growing up and being, you know, a lot more prepared. I don't think they're prepared to raise a baby, but still,
nobody,
you know,
is. Nobody yeah. ever is.
Right. But, you know, seeing Marcy realize, you know, and oh, it's so sad to lose Kathy Pryor. We
oh,
have
it's
to
terrible.
Crystal freaking Hunt. But, oh, I can't take it. I cannot take losing Kathy Pryor. That is a shame before the soap gods that this brilliant actress is leaving this show. And, you know, we'll say we knew her when she's winning a Tony. And, you know, we'll say we knew her when.
See,
and it's just,
but
it's just. Oh.
Going back to the graduation thing for a moment, I couldn't help but think during the graduation scenes that they could have used it as the perfect opportunity for another crossover promotion for a singer. They could have had Vitamin C singing This Is Graduation as background music.
That wasn't the name of that song. What in the name of Jesus are you talking
about? Well, whatever
about?
That graduation song was.
Lord have mercy. You just come up with some stuff, Luke Kerr.
Well, but she could have. She could have sang that song. It's a great one, and you hear it played countless times over
10 years ago.
No, you still.
It's called Graduation, Friends Forever.
Every time you like graduation time comes around, you're listening to the local radio channel.
Let's have Janet Jackson sing that song, Nasty People. Or Madonna sing that song, Strike a Pose.
Well, there you go. Ratings went up for One Life to Live. What do you think, Reagan?
I mean, I'm glad. You know, as much as some people have their gripes about One Life to Live, it's still the soap that I have to watch every episode, every part of. I'm fast-forwarding a lot or just watching certain days of other shows. So I'm glad. It deserves it. I was getting a little scared for it there for a minute.
Well, basically the Jess Test best storyline is what helped it out a lot.
And how fantastic
well,
are they?
That, yeah.
The Brody Jess part of it had a lot to do with my interest.
It was good.
Oh, they were great too.
Let's go to final thoughts. Yeah. Belinda?
One Life to Live is my... Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear that? Excuse me. a big horn in the background. It's still my go-to show right now. I am enjoying different elements of General Hospital. I like the new hospital set and the boy's going to get sued for malpractice and Matt Hunter. You know, I mean, there's a lot Ooh. Of – every time yeah. these things start up, I have a lot of hope, and I invest myself and watch like every minute for weeks until I see that it's going to go right down the same old path that they do with all their stories. They ruin them, you know, by making them about the mob or something. And that's even though it's piqued my interest, One Life to Live is the one that's holding my heart right now. And Jake and Amanda are keeping me tuning in for AMC. So, you know, I'm at a very optimistic place in my soap viewing right now. I'm enjoying the shows. I think it has a lot to do with how disconnected I am from the rest of the world. And by the way, I miss you guys.
We miss you too.
That's my final thought.
My final thought is General Hospital needs to dial back the sleazy. Coming on to this podcast, I felt like...
need to take a shower?
DC, I felt like... No, no, I'm talking about a year and a half ago. I felt like, geez, am I the only person who still likes GH? And maybe it's that you guys affected me. No. It's just that I see it. I finally see it. I mean, I was appalled at that. I mean, I was appalled at that scene in Sonny's living room. Not because of the acting, not because of the writing, because all of that was very realistic, but it's just not, it's just this show has such an ugly core now. I mean, it has no emotional heart. If you had the Quartermains front and center to balance that, if you had Bobby having girl chats with Felicia or something similar, it might be okay as one of four stories, but that being the heart story, that being the A story, just these two women screaming at each other like a pack of pit bulls in a pit. You know, it just, that was some ugly, ugly crap. And you're not going to get, yeah, you're not going to get women to tune in for that. And, you know, I'm sorry, Guza, you just need, you need to wake up and smell the ratings, smell the coffee, smell the crack. I don't know, something. I mean, to get you out of this thinking that this, you know, ugly version of the world that you've turned GH into is what people want to see, because it's not. It's just not.
Reagan?
Okay, well, I'm going to counteract Jamie since I took a vow of positivity with GH. Try not to end on sour notes anymore. I will say last week I had said I wasn't convinced with new Christina, but she settled in this week. I'm convinced now. She's a good pick. She's doing pretty good. I like her and Michael together. I'm liking Drew Garrett even more now that he's out of the hospital. I always said, let's see how he is when he's out of the hospital. And he's doing a great job. My only caution is I loved Jason's coma story. I see that they're trying to mimic it, recreate it, kind of grasp everybody with it. Don't do it too much. He's got to have his own story. He can't play out somebody else's. Other than that, you know, there's, I'm interested in this whole medical mystery thing that's coming up. Not so sure that the mayor was the right character to be the anchor to it, just because I don't really feel like...
I wish we would have seen more of the mayor over the last year, and then this would be a more compelling storyline. That's always my complaint with General Hospital. You know, if we had been seeing this for the last year in bits and pieces, it would be a lot easier to fall on this bandwagon.
My final thought is, if you want to see Martha Byrne, and if you haven't seen her in a long time, if you're an As the World Turns watcher, seeing those pictures of her, those upcoming screen caps, just make her... The lighting is beautiful. She's in beautiful clothes. She looks fantastic. And then you compare that to the last stuff they had her on As the World Turns, and it's like, thank God she's on General Hospital, even if it's just the mayor's wife, because she looks amazing. On that note, we would encourage you to send your emails to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Comment on this episode by going to daytimeconfidential.com, click on podcast in the menu, and then the episode that corresponds with whatever number is in your iPod or your on your computer. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Bye.